Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone, and I want to say a word of thanks. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining into our worship with us today as we think about God and we think about His Son Jesus, who is our King and our Savior. It is good to see everyone here. I'd ask you this morning, if you would, open your New Testaments and turn to the book of Acts, and we'll be spending the majority of our time there in that book together. The book of Acts is the second installment of Luke's efforts to reassure an individual that he named Theophilus. That Theophilus would be have some level of assurance that the things that he was taught were the exact truth. In his first volume, The Gospel of Luke, he begins with the birth of Jesus and goes to his ascension, and he talks about primarily all the things that Jesus did leading up to his death in the last 3 years of his life. In the book of Acts, though, Luke continues to show what Jesus did. Things that he did not directly, but indirectly through men and women who are dedicated to him and have chosen to follow him and give their lives to him. The book of Acts is really the story of the risen and living Christ, who has challenged everyone who has chosen to follow him to go into all the world and teach the matchless, unmatched story of God's love. And as you read through the pages of Acts and you read encounter after encounter between the apostles and those who are present there, or through believers and those who were present there, the question is what character trait stands out to you as these men and women went forth carrying the gospel? Now, as you read that story, you may come up with a lot. You may say faith is present, or love, or humbleness. But I'll tell you, one of the traits that stands out over and over again through the book of Acts is boldness. The book begins with boldness, and it ends with boldness. It's bookended by that character trait. When Peter and the other 11 on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 began to preach and proclaim Jesus raised from the dead, Jesus as the Lord, Peter's sermon's recorded for us. And the way he delivered his message was with boldness. Look with me, if you will, in Acts chapter 2, verse 29. He said, "Brethren, I may boldly say to you." Some of your translations have different words. They may say confidence or something else. But it is the Greek word for boldness. "I may boldly say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses." But not only does the book of Acts begin with boldness in the proclamation of the gospel, it ends there too. We think about the apostle Paul. As he has been retained, and he has gone to Rome and is waits to appear before Caesar, he's waiting there for 2 years. For his accusers to show, or his court date to appear. And the entire time he was there, even under house arrest, what did he do? He boldly proclaimed the message of the gospel. Read the last two verses, if you will, of the book of Acts. He stayed in verse 30. He stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, unhindered. The same Greek word that we find in Acts chapter 2. And so the question is, that is a hallmark, I believe, of the encounters that we read in Acts. Men and women who possess with the message of the gospel go forth and speak with boldness. And so the question maybe before us is, what is boldness? What does it mean to be bold? Well, I have this definition I've kind of cobbled together from a number of sources, and I think it's a good one. Boldness is the trait of being willing to undertake activities that involve risk or danger, especially that involve being honest and straightforward in attitude or speech.
Amen.
Boldness. Now, I want you to understand about boldness, at least biblical boldness. It's not an innate personality trait. And what I mean by that, it doesn't necessarily mean you've been born with it. Because the fact of the matter is biblical boldness is something that is developed through by the will of God, through the transforming power of the gospel. It is an act of our will, and it's an act of trust. The fact of the matter is you can take the most introverted, gentle, calm person, and they can be bold. But you can take the most brash, outspoken individual, and in a moment's notice, they'll shrink back. Biblical boldness is developed and taught and learned. And biblical boldness is a composite trait. It's not just one thing that is manifested in your life. It's a combination of a number of different ideas. It involves character, a person's integrity, their honesty, their willingness to be honest with themselves and the message. How do you understand this message? How does it apply to you? How does it apply to others? It has to do with character. It has to do with conviction. Am I convinced? Am I assured that the things that I'm proclaiming are the absolute truth? Did you notice when Bob spoke at the Lord's table and directed our thoughts? He says, there's one thing I know, that the Lord does not lie. He says, I have never seen that. That's conviction. That's an awareness that these things are true. It takes a sense of urgency. An awareness that something is necessary, needful. And it does take a level of courage. And it's all of those things that work together to create boldness within someone. And it is a hallmark of the book of Acts. And so the question that I maybe put before us, or a couple of questions I'll put before us this morning, is why were the apostles so bold? And if they were so bold, what can I learn from them and how can I be that bold? And so the place I want us to turn, if you will, is Acts chapter 4. I think no place is that boldness more on display than in Acts chapter 4. And that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time together. Acts chapter 4. Notice just the boldness. Verse 13. Now, as they observed the boldness, or some of your translations may say confidence, of Peter and John, and understood they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Verse 29, again, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your words with all boldness. And then finally, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. All throughout this chapter, boldness is the character trait that is emphasized, that is highlighted. And I think something in this chapter can maybe teach us and help us with our boldness and answer the question, why were they bold and how can we be bold? And so the very first thing I would have you to learn or think about from Acts chapter 4 is that the message they carried inspired boldness. Peter and John had gone to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And on their way to the temple, they had met a man who had been lamed from his mother's womb. And he was healed. And that, coupled along with the fact it says in chapter 4, verse 2, that they were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, greatly disturbed the Sadducees. It's no wonder it disturbed them, right? The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection in general, and much less so the resurrection of Jesus. But it says they were greatly disturbed because of those two things. But the fact of the matter, even though they were greatly disturbed, even though they were in places of prominence and preeminence, Peter and John were undeterred. Notice, if you will, what they said beginning down in verse 8 of the text. And I want to set the scene a little bit. They are arrested there in the temple and they are held overnight in jail. And the next morning they appear before the council. in a situation that is designed to intimidate the people who would speak. Notice, if you will, as you back up in verse 5, on the next day their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all were of high priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, so understand kind of the scene. Just imagine in your world today the who's who of the religious elite. Those who had the power to excommunicate. Those who had the power to censure. And right in the middle of this mass of people are John and Peter standing right in the middle of it. They were behind them. They were in front of them. They were to the side. It was a situation that was designed to intimidate the person who was speaking. But notice what they say, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Boldness. Why were they, how could they be so bold? Well, Peter and John, like the rest of the apostles, they were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, were they not? Peter and John and the other apostles on the day of Pentecost received the promise of the Comforter that Jesus had spoken of at the end of the Gospel of John. And that Comforter, that Spirit, came and enabled them to do mighty acts in the name of Jesus. They were convinced that what they were speaking of was the absolute truth. And their boldness was recognized and acknowledged by the people who were there. They were inspired by the message that they were preaching. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not the apostles. We're not eyewitnesses. We've not been enabled in the Spirit in the way they were. But we carry the same message. And that same message that we carry can inspire boldness in us. The fact is that it is true that Jesus of Nazarene is the Christ. He is the one sent by God. You know how I know that? He was declared with power by the resurrection. That's what it says in Romans chapter 1 verse 4. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. He says, "Who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." Not only was He declared to be the Son of God and Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent by God, the message that we carry is the power of God that leads people to salvation. That's the message that we have. Notice what Paul says again in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. He says, "I'm under obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And it is based upon that assurance and that conviction. That's the hope that we hold out. That's the hope we hold, and that's the hope we offer. And that message brings to us boldness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech." We have the same message they have. And it can inspire boldness in us as well. But not only does the message inspire boldness, the opposition that they faced required boldness. I mean, the fact of the matter is, at the time the book of Acts is written, at least in Acts chapter 4, they generally had a favorable opinion of the populace. Look, if you will, in verse 21 of the text. It says, when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people. So generally, the apostles and other followers of Jesus, at least at the writing of Acts chapter 4, had a favorable opinion from the general populace, but not from the religious rulers. And that continued to escalate and grow worse. By the time we get later in the book of Acts, we see the death of Stephen and ultimately the death of the apostle James. It continued to grow in intensity. What I'm simply saying is for the apostles, Peter and John, to be able to open and freely speak the gospel, they face risk. They face danger. They faced opposition. And yet they were undeterred. The fact of the matter is, there's always risk of speaking something with boldness. In places in this world, you can be imprisoned, you can be censored, you can lose jobs, you may even lose your life. That's not the way it is here. But we grow in an increasingly antagonistic culture that frowns upon people who place their allegiance and confidence in God and uphold the truths of God. Opposition requires boldness. That shouldn't be surprising to us. That has always been the case, and that has always been the warning. We think about Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus sent out the 12 apostles in Matthew chapter 10. And he gave a number of instructions, but do you realize that the majority of the instructions in Matthew chapter 10 were regarding opposition? I mean, the difficulties they faced in Matthew chapter 10. He says in verse 14, whoever does not receive you nor heed your words. Verse 16, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Verse 17, beware of men. Verse 21, brother will betray brother to death. Father his child, and children will rise up against their parents. Verse 22, you will be hated. Verse 23, you will be persecuted. If they accuse your master, if they called the head of the house Beelzebul, what will they call you? And so opposition, the opposition they faced and the opposition we faced will require boldness. And that's the very thing that Jesus instructs his apostles to do, right? We have that famous statement in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 26, and therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will be not known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you have whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetop. What's he saying when he say, proclaim it on the housetops? He's saying, be bold. I don't think he's necessarily saying there that you got to have a megaphone or you're shouting. Boldness can be quiet too. But it says, do not waver in proclaiming the things that I have given you to share. He's talking about boldness. And that's what opposition requires. There's a third thing in the book of Acts. Not only does the message inspire boldness and opposition require boldness, we don't have to do it alone because we have a God who desires boldness in those who choose to follow Him. How do I know that? Because that's what we see here in Acts. As Peter and John were released, what they did in Acts chapter 4, they gathered together and offered a prayer to God. And as part of that prayer, they praise God for His deliverance of Peter and John and how He would humble those who were in opposition. But you know what part of the prayer was? It's for boldness. Notice, if you will, in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all boldness, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. How did I say, well, they prayed for it, so how can I say that God desires that? Because He answers their prayer. Notice in verse 31, and when they prayed, the place that they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. God desired them to speak with boldness, and so He answered their prayer, giving them this confidence, this assurance to go forth and say, that's exactly what I want you to be doing. You know what? We've got the same message, we face the same kinds of oppositions, and we serve the same God. Now, what we could do is we could sit around and watch everybody else be bold. You know, I could do that. And appreciate them. You say, Brock's bold. Amen, Brock. Have at it. I could say, why it's bold? Or we can turn to God and ask Him to bless us with boldness. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul does. Ephesians 6 and verse 19. He says, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. The fact of the matter is we often look at the apostles, especially the Apostle Paul, and think they're supermen, that they're unrelatable. But the fact of the matter is it seems to me that Peter and Paul and John and James and Bartholomew, all of the rest, at times probably felt inadequate to the task that they were given. They didn't feel up to the task, up to the challenge. But the fact is what we see in their prayers, they knew God was. And so they ask for boldness, and God answers their prayers. He desires boldness. So the message inspires boldness, the opposition requires boldness, and God desires boldness in those who follow Him. How would you describe a follower of God? I mean, maybe you turn to Galatians and look at the fruit of the Spirit. You talk about maybe the love we have for one another, their faith, their humbleness, their meekness, their gentleness. But one of the characteristics of a follower of God is boldness. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous, they are bold as a lion. Does that describe you? I'll tell you, sometimes it doesn't describe me. Sometimes I'm not as bold as a lion. Sometimes I'm afraid. I'm afraid of people. I'm afraid about people, what people might say. Sometimes I'm more concerned about how I might disappoint someone or might make them angry or might make them think I'm weird. I don't want to disappoint people. And sometimes boldness disappoints people because you're going to have to stand in opposition. Sometimes I'm just pessimistic. I know if I'm bold and I say something, bad's going to happen. You know, there's going to be some blow up, you know. People are not going to be friends with me. I don't know. Sometimes I'm not as bold as I need to be. And what I need to do is stop thinking so much about me and put my confidence in the God who gives boldness. That's what the prophet Isaiah did. In Isaiah 50, verse 7, the prophet says, for the Lord God helps me, therefore I'm not disgraced. Therefore I've set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. That's boldness. A conviction and a confidence in God, an assurance to do what is right, to set his face like flint. And so where do I need boldness? Well, I need boldness in a lot of areas of my life. I need boldness in confronting sin. I need boldness in confronting sin in my life. I need boldness in confronting sin and helping others to see sin in their lives. I need boldness and confronting that which is wrong and evil and ungodly. I need boldness in standing up and lifting up which is good and right and pure and holy. I need boldness in sharing the good news about Jesus the Christ. Not being ashamed of it. Not worrying about what people will say about me, because I say I love Jesus and there's salvation in no other name except in His. I need boldness. And the fact is what Scripture teaches us, if we could get one person to be bold, one person, it's contagious because people imitate boldness. Look with me, if you will. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, "And that most of the brethren, trusting the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Why do they have far more courage? Because Paul's in prison? No, it's not merely because of his circumstances. It was merely because he met his circumstances with faith and humbleness and boldness. And they saw his boldness, even in chains, and then it caused them to increase their own. So if we could just get one person, two people, or 10, to be more bold, how it might impact those around you. And so here's the admonition from the lesson. This week, go forth and be bold for Jesus Christ and about Jesus Christ. Now, I'm put that second part in there because you know what? I'm going to go out and be bold this week about my rights, about what I want, about the team I like, and how bad Gonzaga is. I'll be bold about all kinds of things, but maybe not the most important thing. Go out this week and be bold for Jesus Christ, who is your King, who is your Savior, who is the one who gave Himself for you, and be bold about Him and His kingdom, about Him and His salvation, about Him and His promises, about Him and what He would have us to live and be, and how we can be transformed through His message. Go forth and be bold. That's the lesson. That's the challenge I lay down this week to you. To that, there's no better opportunity to step out and be bold than right now. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have not been washed clean of your sins, why are you waiting? Jesus is the very best of heaven, sent by God on your behalf so that you can be washed clean of your sins. He has said, "I want to save you. I value you. You are important to me, so much so that I asked my very Son to come and die for you." And if today you're willing to confess Him as Lord, if you recognize Jesus as the very Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, today you can be washed clean. You can be immersed in water. You can be baptized in the likeness of His death. And you will be washed clean. You'll be raised a new creature. If you are a child of God and you've not been living for Him, you're not as bold as maybe you should have been and could have been, we're here to pray for you. We're here to pray with you. As people who understand that we often fall short of the glory of God, and we want to be there for one another and lift each other up and pray for God's forgiveness and His strength. If you have a need this morning, come as we stand and as we sing.